Hello and welcome to Success Unscrambled podcast. This is Alvin. You're very welcome to the podcast today. We have a special guest on with ourselves, and her name is Megan. And I'm going to get Megan to introduce herself. Over to you, Megan.
Hi, it's so nice to be here. I'm Megan Whitaker. I blog at goingcrunchynotcrazy.com. I've had it since about 2015. When my first daughter was born, I was a registered nurse and I loved health and wellness, but I wasn't super happy with the medical model and I really wanted to stay home. So I decided to quit my job and I kind of pivoted into natural health and wellness. And I have been blogging and speaking and writing ever since.
Awesome. Wow. Well, you're very welcome to the podcast today, Megan. So, in terms of what you do, first of all, can you give us a little bit more in-depth as to what it is you do? I mean, health and wellness is such a broad area, and obviously it would help the listeners to get a better understanding of what exactly you do in that space.
Absolutely. So I do have a kind of a specific area that I talk about. I really focus on environmental, like detoxification, the chemicals around your home and your body. I had an autoimmune disease before I was a nurse. I'd gone to nursing school kind of hoping that I would be able to figure myself out. And I fell down what I call like the crunchy rabbit hole, where I started with herbs and roots, and that helped a little bit. And then somebody suggested that I take out plastics and things, and that helped a lot. I was a makeup artist professionally before I went to nursing school. I used a lot of products, a lot of chemicals. I had the worst diet. And over the course of about 5 years, I completely detoxified like my whole house, my whole environment, all of my products. I totally went chemical free and I have had no pain, no medications, no nothing for about 6 years now, 7 years almost now. So I really focus on educating specifically moms and younger families how to go about switching over all of your products and your environment and getting rid of the chemical burden that we have in our homes.
Wow. That sounds like a lot.
it is a lot. Well, I think that there is a big fear that people have that it's too much to do or that it's too expensive to do or they can't possibly learn all these things. And that's why I'm here. I mean, it took me 10 years and 2 college degrees and I don't know how many other, you know, educational opportunities to get all of this knowledge. And so I like to share it. So my blog specifically works on science. The nursing part of me still really likes research and science. So I like to break down good research, science, and wellness and kind of bring it together. So I talk a lot to pregnant moms, new moms, moms with small children that have these little, that not only have their own bodies, but also have little bodies to take care of. And I like to give them good facts and make the science easy for them.
Wow. That's just amazing. I'm blown away thinking of all the things that it involves, like detoxifying my home. Like, what would I have left?
You know, a lot of our home detox has to do with like the air and our water and stuff like that. I mean, there are a lot of research studies that say that the air inside your home is about 1 to 6 times more polluted than the air outside because of all the stuff we have in our homes. Mm-hmm. Wow. We all of our furniture ends up off gases. It lets go of formaldehyde and chemicals and all of the non-like flame retardants and things. All of that stuff comes off of your furniture, off of your floors, off of your food, and it's in your air. It's really hard to get rid of. So open your windows.
Very interesting. Never thought about that. Imagine sitting on a sofa and thinking that it's full of toxins. Ah, that's interesting. Wow. Okay, we'll get into more about that a little later on. So tell me, why do you do what you do? I know you talk about having an autoimmune disease, but is there any specific other reason?
Well, yeah, so it started off with my own journey of that it took me so long to figure out all of the science, to figure out what was real, what was woo, what was fake news. And it was hard for me to find good sources. Mm-hmm. And so when I was a nurse, the thing that I loved about health and nursing was patient education and being able to help a patient take control of their own health and get educated about their own health. Because so often, it's not that people don't want to be healthy. Mm-hmm. It's just that they don't know a good, real, easy way to do something. And so my blog was a way for me to get that information to whoever needed it. And when, you know what, I think everybody says, you know, if one person reads it, it'll be worth it. But, you know, I really do want as many moms as possible and as many young women as possible to know where to go to find safe information. So that is, you know, my why is that I want to protect our women.
Mm, awesome. Interesting. And then, so what do you enjoy most about doing that? Like, is there a specific area that you enjoy more than the other?
I'm a talker. And so, you know, I love my blog and my blog really I kind of use to do other things. Mm-hmm. I've used my blog as a platform to get freelance writing, like paid on sites like Healthline. Mm-hmm. And I've written for Romper, which is a parenting site. And I've also used my blog to speak at, you know, major conferences. I flew across the country to speak at a parenting conference. And mm-hmm. and I like having a platform where people can like come learn about me, know me, kind of get to know me and my journey. And then I get to then go out and meet people in real life. Awesome. And talk to people. And I love connecting and hearing back from people. Mm. And so my blog really, like the thing that I love the most, just in general, is the communication with other people.
Awesome. Wow. Phew. Just mind blowing. I don't think I've ever heard, stuff in your house, not necessarily. Like I've heard that the part where you say the soap that you use or, the ingredients in the stuff that you eat or, you know, other stuff like that, but stuff like your furniture and, you know, some regular bits and pieces around the house having an effect on, especially a medical effect on you. That's something new to me, definitely by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, it makes you wonder, like, the next time we're going to a furniture store or to go and buy a lamp or to go buy a bed, to buy a mattress, and, you know, those things don't have a list of ingredients. So,
yeah. No, and there are a few places that you can go, mm-hmm. But that is one of the problems. That, you know, that's one of the areas that sometimes you need somebody to come in and say, like, I have resources for this. Like, mattresses are a big one right now. There are a couple of dozen companies that are focusing on organic, non-toxic mattresses, and people don't know that they're not that hard to find. You know, you can get a wool mattress. Wool doesn't need flame retardants because wool actually is a natural flame retardant. Mm. So it doesn't have to be doused in chemicals. It's pretty easy if you know where to look, and I want to be that place for people to come.
So cool. That is absolutely so cool and mind-blowing. So obviously, so here's the big thing. You know, when as a child you were growing up, you're thinking, okay, some people say they want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse. Obviously, right now in our current world, especially people who are in their, say, teens and early 20s, mid-20s, have so many options available. But then for yourself as a child growing up, you never thought of yourself as being the person who detoxes your home. What it is you wanted to be, and who was the person who sort of was your role model to get you to where you are today?
Oh man. So when I was growing up, I wanted to be on Broadway. I was a theater kid and I went to Broadway all the time. When I was in college, I kind of stepped off stage and started doing makeup, and I did makeup and special effects. Mm-hmm. So I made zombies, I made monsters, I used like plasticizers and molds and all kinds of, you know, foam and all kinds of things. And so that took me to Los Angeles. I worked in film for a few years, and that's when I got really, 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 really sick. Mm-hmm. And so realizing that I was so sick, I couldn't work, I had to move home. Okay. And I went to nursing school because I'd always liked health and been kind of interested in health. But I was, you know, so creative that I felt like I couldn't be a nurse. I was so creative and, you know, I just ran off to Los Angeles, but I was so sick that I couldn't work. And, I was on a lot of medications, went to nursing school, you know, slowly got better. And once I had a doctor who, suggested that I try an herbal remedy, because the medication that I was on was so strong, it was eating a hole through my stomach.
Wow.
And he gave me this ginger turmeric tea to coat my stomach, so that I wasn't in so much pain. And that led me to kind of Google, because, you know, you fall down the Google hole. And I found a few really prominent, like health and wellness experts. Specifically, I found, Weston A. Price Foundation, which is like, they call themselves a diet. It's not really a diet. It's like the original paleo diet. Okay. And I found a few doctors and a few researchers that were so into science. And I was like, this is so interesting. There were facts and graphs and, you know, scientific studies on this crazy diet. And I really fell in love with that. And I think that's kind of what did it. Like I discovered that there were such amazing scientists in this like crunchy world, and and I never went back. I knew then, like, I was halfway through nursing school. My now husband was my boyfriend at the time. I told him I thought that I was going to quit nursing school, and I was like, I want to do this. Like I love talking about this stuff. This is so crazy. And I was feeling better and I wanted to be part of that. And he said, you know, you should finish nursing school. The worst thing that you're going to have is a good education. And he was right. And I did work as a nurse for a couple of years. And I just, you know, I got a good education in traditional medicine so that I can kind of show people the other way too.
Yeah.
I hope that answer made sense.
That made sense. So there wasn't anybody specific that you sort of looked up to or anything like that?
No. Oh, there are so many good people that and like you said, there are, like, the area that I'm in is like, it's water, it's your sofa, it's your bathroom, it's your kitchen. And so there were multiple people that were kind of experts in those areas that I was reading.
Awesome. Awesome. Then, as you know, growing up as a child, especially during the teenage years, people always give you advice because, you know, there's guidance counselors and teachers and chaplains and all these different people who you meet from the age of 10 up, who would give you advice on how to live your life, if to get into sports, if not to get into sports, if to go down this route, if not to go down this route, etc., etc. What is sort of the best advice you've ever received to date?
I think the best advice is not to do something for the money.
Mm.
You know, to really follow your passion. I went to nursing school. I'm glad I have my nursing education, but I went to nursing school because it was the quote, you know, smart thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't do my creative artsy thing anymore. And everybody was like, okay, now it's time to settle down and get your real job.
Oh no, didn't.
And I mean, that was my second college degree. So it was great that I have that medical knowledge, but I really knew going into it that, like, I did not want to be a floor nurse for the rest of my life. But everybody around me was like, but you like medicine, but you like educating, you know, this is what you do when you like talking about health. Mm. You go down this very set pre-path that makes you, you know, decent money forever, you know? And so while I'm glad I have the education, that, you know, I was just never going to be a nurse for 30 years.
That's amazing. Wow. Oh, no, it's time to get your real job. I don't know why people say things like that. It's such a hurtful thing to say. But anyway, let's not dwell on that.
Yeah.
So then, obviously, with all of that sort of, I think you have such a very colored, mixed background that got you to where you are today. Is there anything specific in that background that sort of impacted you and, you know, got you to where you are? Is there any sort of a aha moment or meeting someone or anything like that that got you to that point?
I think that going to nursing school and knowing immediately in nursing school that I shouldn't be there and sticking through it and having everybody around say, like, just get an education. was right. I think my husband said, you know, like the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to have a good education. Mm-hmm. And that's super important. I mm-hmm. do think that, so I mean, obviously in America, it's terrible because our education is so expensive. Mm-hmm. But besides that, for everybody else in the world, I really do think the more education, the better, no matter what field you are.
Yeah.
Like always continuing to learn got me where I am mm-hmm. because, you know, I went to college and got a degree, and then I decided to go get more, to study more. And I went to Los Angeles and, you know, I took courses in composition and plasticizers, and I did like special effects work. And then I went to nursing school, and then I, you know, studied environmental health. And so I'm always learning, and the people around me have high education levels. Everybody around me has multiple degrees and college degrees. And that is super important to the people around me. And so no matter what I have done, everybody has always said like, okay, if you want to do that, great. Go learn how to do it. Go get a degree, go get a class, go do a thing. And I think that that is always a good idea, is to get, you can never be too educated, and nobody can ever take your education away from you.
True. True. I've always said that as well to many people around me. That is such a true thing. And it always contributes, because to be honest, in terms of success, there's no defined path for everyone.
Right.
You can talk to anybody and they'll tell you of their wiggly, windy part of how they got from A to B. And it's just so many, you know, loopholes and jumps and, you know, duck unders and everything just to get where they are. But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
In this landscape of a lot of, you know, blogs and sort of social media and people are making money online, they think that it is a workaround to education. And that might be true. Like, you don't need a college education to have a job.
True.
But, you know, education isn't necessarily always a college education either. Mm. But I do think that no matter what you do, continuing an education is probably the top priority, because, you know, if you happen to be good at, you know, building a website, that's great. But, you know, using that instead of going down a path to get more education, I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. So then around your blog, you said you started in 2015, is it? If I'm correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you've been doing the blog for 3 years now. And I'd say was it an easy path? Was it a full of struggles? Was it, because you seem to have done the blog, or it seems to give the impression that you've done the blog really quickly, or, you know, it's there as a platform to get you to other things. So I don't know if it was a big struggle for you, or if it was a sort of a three part project, so to speak. How was the blogging for you, or has been for you, for the last 3 years?
I think so I started my blog about 6 months after my oldest daughter was born. Mm-hmm. And then I have two little girls. Mm-hmm. So since the inception of my blog, I've always had an infant. So I really think that I do my blog differently than most bloggers do.
Cool.
You know, I blog once a month or so. Sometimes it's not even that much, because I've had, you know, periods of postpartum, you know, time, you mm-hmm. know, or where I'm nursing all the time. And I focus on doing one or two really good in-depth scientific posts. Mm-hmm. And I don't do filler stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily worried about quantity. Mm-hmm. And for the first like year and a half, I was just kind of piddling around and like putting up, like my very first post was like this deep dive into like chlorine and taking your baby swimming and how to protect your infants from chlorine.
Wow.
So it wasn't fluffy by any means, but it also, you know, I didn't have a ton of time.
Yep.
So I focused on doing a really good thing when I could. Mm-hmm. And I didn't throw money at it at all for the first year. And I learned everything myself. I built the whole thing myself. I did everything myself. So it took a good 2 years before I was seeing like big numbers and I was seeing, you know, big traffic and return. And that's when I was able to sort of say, like, my blog is kind of running on auto now, okay. You know, and I had a friend come in and help me make my website better and faster. And then I was able to reach out and kind of say, now I'm going to start a podcast and now I'm going to do other things and kind of drive people to other places. Awesome. But I do not worry about posting tons of posts. Okay. I want, if you come to my site and only go to three posts, all three of those posts are worth reading. Mm. There's nothing filler in there.
Yeah. Awesome. Sounds very interesting. Very different, like you said, a very different approach to what people would normally do, because, you know, you have people who, like, for example, my mentor, who posts about 25 posts a day, which I will never get to. I'm not that lover of putting so much content out. But then you have people like you who just probably does once a month or maybe once every 2 months, and that's fine.
Yeah, my Instagram is really like where I go to talk and like show little things. And, you know, I do Instagram story all day. You know, I post on Instagram regularly. I'm on there talking to people a lot. Okay. I really kind of see my blog as more of a site. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, like it's not, you know, daily life blogs or the thing that I did today and then yesterday. It really is like, I have this great piece of information that I want you to learn about.
Yeah.
And then if you want to talk to me about other stuff and see my kids and see, you know, my natural hair dye that I used and like my process for things that when I'm cooking, that's Instagram. And then I get on the podcast, and the podcast is really where I go to talk about like my more of my business side. Cause I go into people's houses, or I do over like Zoom or like video messenger. I go in and like go into people's homes and detoxify their homes and things like that.
Oh, so, really? Like, oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of the business side. Is I do a lot of speaking engagements, and then I actually go now and I'm a consultant, and I will go into your bathroom and help you look at where mold would be, or what products you need to switch, and go into your kitchen and help you get rid of the Teflon and get rid of the nonstick, and test your water and things like that. So that's like my podcast kind of talks more about that. And honestly, at this point with two small kids, the podcast has kind of been easier to keep up because
yeah.
I can just talk during that time. You know, for the blog, like I want things to look nice and be, you know, set. And I do drive a lot of Amazon affiliate traffic through my blog.
Okay.
So it is generating income that way. So like if people want to buy products that I've talked about, or if I, you know, I don't really do lists and things, but I do like healthy gear guides. And mm-hmm. I talk a lot about, you know, the easy switches you can make. And so all those things are linked. And so that there is some income kind of passively coming through my site as well.
Awesome. That's amazing. So you have three platforms. Your blog is not necessarily, as you said, a daily thing, but you have Instagram, which is more daily. And then obviously you have the podcast, which is amazing. Instagram is more life, I guess, life, things that happen in life. And then the podcast is when you do consulting. That's such an interesting, I don't know how you keep up it. Especially Instagram. Instagram is not my jam particularly, but it's such a busy platform where you sort of have to be constantly on there all the time, you know, posting every day.
For me, because I have young kids, like I'll be outside, you know, playing with my girls, and someone will ask me a question on Instagram and I can just answer them.
Yeah.
So it's a really good way for me to kind of be in touch with the people that I want to and answer questions.
Perfect.
And kind of like, I share my like real, so my, you know, my blog is called Going Crunchy, Not Crazy. And I share my crunchiness. Like I share like the weird, crazy, crunchy things that I do during my day on my Instagram. And then the blog really is more, you know, bigger ideas and bigger things.
Deeper research as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So where did the name come from? I'm trying to think, because I'll tell you why I'm asking that question. My son loves crunchy nuts. You know, the actual Kellogg's Crunchy Nut brand. Uh-huh. He eats it and he adds sugar to it and it just like make you cringe. And then you tell me Crunchy Nut, I'm thinking like, what kind of a name, healthy and crunchy nut? I don't see them come together. What inspired you to name the blog that way?
So it may really just be an American thing. So being called crunchy kind of comes from being a hippie. So back in the 60s, people called themselves granola, like to be a hippie, and that became a crunchy granola hippie, and then that kind of gotten dropped, and now people say that they're a crunchy hippie. And so, when I started this, I was working as a registered nurse, like in an office, and everybody thought that I had lost my mind. And I was like trying to tell them, no, there's science behind this. So it kind of became that I'm crunchy, I'm not crazy.
That's brilliant. Oh my, good. That's awesome. Finally got it. I'm just like, what is the name? Okay, brilliant. Like you said, it's probably an American thing.
Yeah.
But brilliant.
It's the 60s.
It's very catchy though. It's like a name that you would never sort of forget that easily. And it's good to name your blogs in that way that you know, people can actually remember it quite easily. And then so you've got the blog. 1 year into it, you decide, okay, I'm going to get serious. I'm going to improve the way it looks, etc. But anyway, at the end of the day, it's a place where you have all of the core, hardcore, deep researchers happening there. How did you decide at that point to generate traffic, or were you even thinking about that 1 year on into the blog?
Yeah, I was. It's funny. I mean, even from my very, very first blog post, I made a little image and I put it on Pinterest, and okay. It's the worst image. Like, guys, it's a really bad picture. And it's funny because there's a few blog posts that were early blog posts that did pretty well. And it's still being repinned with that really awful image. And I'm just like, oh, every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I wish I could go back and switch that image on Pinterest. But I did focus a lot on Pinterest because my demographic is, like 25 to 35 year old women. I mean, that is who I'm really aiming at. And that's a lot of Pinterest. Mm. So I am not a big Facebook user. I'm just not. So that I used Facebook a little bit to find really good Pinterest groups. Mm-hmm. But in general, I did not worry about Facebook engagement. I didn't worry about joining Facebook groups or pods or having people like my pins. Like, I really just focused on finding other boards and kind of building my boards. But again, I am not like a huge overpinner. Mm-hmm. I pin only, I want people like even to come to my Pinterest page and only get stuff that they need. Mm-hmm. I don't have hundreds of boards. I don't have millions of pins, but I have like 300,000 monthly views. Like, I mean, like I always have really good Pinterest views, even though I just don't pin that much because I'm only pinning like the best things I can find. I switched to the Tailwind.
Yeah.
Recently, and I did a lot of like research into how people were using Tailwind, and I watched a lot of videos and courses and things, and I just saw so many people being like batch pinning hundreds and hundreds of pins. I don't need to like have huge full boards. Like, okay. If you're coming to my Pinterest, if you want to follow me on Pinterest, like I'm only gonna pin stuff that I think that my people want to see, and I think that's helped me a lot. My pins don't get lost because again, I don't have thousands of blog posts, so I don't have thousands of pins. Mm. So I have my 30 or 40 pins that are from my blog, and I don't want it to get lost in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people's pins. Like, I do repin my stuff fairly regularly, but it's not a ton. And I only put up stuff that really fits and that I think people are really going to want to see.
Awesome.
And that has Pinterest has definitely been my main source of traffic, but but using good SEO and like going back and like doing lots of links and things, I'm getting a significant amount of just straight search and like direct Google searches. And so that's been increasing every month. I've gotten more organic search.
Okay. And in terms of the traffic, is it a 50-50 split between Google and Pinterest, or what does that look like?
I think I'm at about, I get about three times as much traffic from Pinterest as I do from organic search. I get a lot of of Pinterest hits. There are days, I mean, it's funny. It's kind of hard to say like what my average is, because I'll have, in the last year, I've had between about 5,000 and 12,000 views a month. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of a big split, and it's always that, it's always Pinterest.
Season, season, something, yeah.
Yeah. When some, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I had a pin kind of take off and I had 2,000 views in a day, and, you know, and then it, you know, kind of goes back down as people find it and things. And so Pinterest has always been my main driver just because of those huge spikes. You know, I don't have days where Google all of a sudden sends me 1,000 people. Although that would be great.
Yes, don't worry. One of these days they will.
Yeah.
So in terms of, so I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of people who are listening to this particular podcast. And I'm thinking, so how do I know I need to detoxify my house? Is there, like, I know obviously some people might be interested and they just want to, you know, take the prevention is better than cure method. But then there are some people who actually need it, who are in that point where they need it. How does one identify if they need your services or not?
So, yeah, I mean, of course, I'm kind of the school that everybody needs to detoxify their house a little bit. But so we live in a world, you know, in the United States, there are about 88,000 chemicals registered to be used in daily products, and only 8,000 of them have been extensively tested for safety.
Wow.
We don't have laws that require manufacturers to test these products before they're used. Our laws say that if it looks later like it caused something horrible, then they have to go back and test it, but that's not the first round. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have things like, I don't know if you're aware, like right now in Flint, Michigan, there is a water crisis where the entire town's water has been poisoned with lead, and it's been going on for months. Wow. Months and months and months. So we have hundreds of thousands of people that have lead in their water at such high levels that it is dangerous. So I think that everybody should kind of be aware of the possible toxins and do things that are really easy switches to keep things like that from happening. But two, we also live in a world with just skyrocketing levels of autoimmune disease, of cancer, of things like MS and, Parkinson's, all of these diseases that didn't exist in high numbers 100, 200 years ago. And I think that a lot of the research is showing that it is from a number of factors, but it's a lot of lifestyle factors, and specifically things like how we are eating and how we are living. So if you know, our bodies do detoxify naturally. That's what our kidneys are for. It's what our liver is for. But we can only take so much, you know? And we do have a cap, you know, everybody has a level to where they just can't take the amount of crap we're putting on. The average woman puts on about 230 chemicals every day just in their beauty products.
Wow.
So once you kind of get to the level where your body just isn't functioning as well because of like the toxic load. So if you're not sleeping well, obesity, really hormone fluctuations and hormone issues like PCOS, thyroid issues. A lot of the chemicals in beauty products are estrogen mimickers. So it tells your body that there's estrogen in it, and we think it's a hormone. We react accordingly. So we have hormone problems. So when you have these chronic illnesses and things, it can be really good to kind of go through your house and make sure that you have the lowest toxic burden that you can so that your body can heal. Mm. So that's kind of my stance. It worked for me. So I just, especially women who are pregnant, you know, have small children, want to be pregnant soon, you know, when you're building little bodies, just keeping the toxic load down as much as possible, because we're only adding more chemicals to our lives every day.
Wow. And okay, so when you get to the point where you have Parkinson's, MS, and all of those things, are those getting rid of the toxins in your house, will that reduce it in any way, or is that already too late? Even if you reduce the toxins in your house, it wouldn't really help that much.
So it did for me. So, you know, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. You know, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and they said that it was, you know, looking like I could also have lupus. And I am no longer classified as having that. Mm. So, it, you know, but again, you know, I was 22 and I caught it pretty early, but I don't think that there's ever a point where it's not helpful, because as long as you're still alive, you know, if you continue to eat and drink and breathe chemicals, that is going to be compounding a problem. If you're reducing that, you're going to give your body a, you know, the best chance to be as healthy as possible.
Mm, awesome. Wow. Now I'm just thinking of a lot of people who suffer with a lot of things, well, not necessarily a lot of things, but one of the things that you've classified there. I know not too long ago, there was a doctor that came visiting and she was giving sort of a seminar or a talk. And I think what she thought was causing the problem was sugar and chocolates.
Yeah.
That cause autoimmune diseases, but she didn't actually mention detoxifying your house. So maybe she's not aware of it herself, like you said.
Well, it was one of those things where, like, the amount of sugar that we eat and kind of the amount of chemicals we use, all these things kind of started at the same time. Mm. So it's a lot of compounding factors. So we do cut sugar in my house, and sugar is definitely a huge inflammatory factor. And I do tell people to stay away from white processed sugar as much as possible. Mm. Sugar is on my bad list as well.
That's brilliant. Okay, so back to the blog, blog. Let's just say with blog, because this is all about blog traffic anyway. This is the focus. In terms of your long-term plans, what does that look like? Is it that you're going to, you know, obviously, by the way, do you actually get a lot of traffic from traffic, as in blog traffic? Because obviously you get leads from Instagram, but do you get blog traffic from Instagram?
I do. I have a little bit from Instagram. I, you know, right now I'm working on my first ebook. Right now it should be hopefully done in the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's so hard when I have my little kids. We're moving in 3 months. So I'm a little panicky about trying to get all this set up, but I have a few freebies and stuff. I haven't worried so much about my email list, and that is my this year's plan.
Okay.
Is that I am going to be putting out an ebook and working on some landing pages and some things for more like opt-ins and things like that to kind of capture more emails and to drive a little bit more traffic to the blog. But, you know, I think that some of the analytics and the issues happening right now with Pinterest and Instagram, you know, changing their algorithms and stuff all the time, I do think it's really important to focus on SEO and organic traffic and capturing email addresses, because I love my Pinterest traffic, but there is a much lower rate of return to the website than from my organic traffic. Mm. And so that'll be my focus for the next year or so, will be returning traffic and email capture.
Okay. And back onto the topic of moving house. So when you say you're going to get a new house, do you go in and detoxify the house before you move in? How does that work?
So we are moving to student housing. My husband is in graduate school, and he is going to be he's getting another graduate degree. Cause apparently, like I said, we're all about education over here. We're on degree number 3 with my husband. So we're going to be living in married student housing. I have done a deep dive research into the building that we are living in. It's 5 years old. Yeah. It's 5 years old, which is not ideal, but it is not terrible. It's not pre 1970s, which means like asbestos and lead risk is low, but it's, you know, it's only a few years low. So there's a few years old. So there's still a lot of off gassing issues. I have a lot of resources to like go in and like deep clean the carpets, deep clean the walls. There's actually special paints that you can get to seal in paint. I have a Wi-Fi like and electromagnetic field reader. Like I actually have like a Geiger counter, like you would have like in a radiation zone. And so I'm going to see how bad like the Wi-Fi and radiation issues are. I might seal the walls. There's a lot you can do for an apartment. I think people, that's another thing that like people assume that like you have to own your house because like you're going to be tearing down walls and ripping up carpet. That is not true. I have lived in apartments doing this for years. I am passionate about living in a super healthy a parchment that I can't physically alter. So the biggest things will be, I'll be getting a water filter on all of our water sources, including the showers. I will be making sure that all of the carpets and the walls are off-gassed, and I will be cleaning that really good. And I might seal the walls with a special sealing paint, depending. this is the line where people are like, okay, I think she is crazy.
No, I'm actually going to ask you, like, do you, like, is it in either on Instagram or, I don't know, maybe on your, even on your podcast, because you have a consulting satellite business, do you offer moving into your new home detoxification plan or something like that, that you offer? Because, I mean, when you think about it, it's like, what all the things that you're saying, I hope you have that as one of your packages available for people, because people move houses all the time.
Yeah, so you can, I can come into houses and do like a whole home detox, and I do that. I've only done it a couple times, it's fun. But the biggest problem, really the biggest problem with a new house is making sure that there aren't things like hidden mold issues. If you've lived in a house for a long time, you're typically aware if there's like a big air change, but mold is the thing that I think is the least talked about. Like home health issue when really? You're moving. Yes, mold is very, very, very dangerous. And we live in these houses that are all drywall. Mold loves drywall because it's sealed on the outside and it's open on the inside. So you can have a huge mold problem and not know it. Wow. Until it's like way out of control. And that's, again, it's easy to test for. You can get mold air kits pretty easily.
Wow, that's amazing. Learned something so new today. So what do you think is the big thing? Because you said you sort of learned it all, you did everything yourself. Have you invested in any sort of blogging or Pinterest or anything, courses like that?
I have done, the biggest like money that I've spent, it really has been Tailwind. Okay. Other than Tailwind, I haven't spent a ton of money. Most of the things I have learned myself, I was lucky enough to have a good friend who is a website designer, was able to kind of walk me through a lot of the basics of like how to set up my site and things. Because I am going to be launching an ebook, I am going to be doing a like ClickFunnels sort of course. Okay. to set up my funnel, because that is not something I've done before. So I'm planning on doing that. But everything else I've pretty much learned myself. Thank you, YouTube.
And is there anybody that you follow, any sort of bloggers that would be a, sort of an, or has been an inspiration for you?
I don't subscribe a lot to like the blogging about blogging stuff. There is some Mom to Momtrepreneur is okay. A good like Pinterest, because I think Pinterest is for my demographic was so important. Yeah. Getting to know Pinterest was like the thing that helped me the most. So I liked that quite a bit.
Okay. Awesome. And then we just see if there's anything else. Oh yeah. Obviously, most importantly, what are the top five things that you'd like, whether it be newbie bloggers or seasoned bloggers to learn from you? Any of it, well, it could include some sort of a detoxification, but for blogging success.
We'll go blogging. Don't post fluff. Okay. Like, if somebody comes to your website, you don't want the first two posts to be things that you don't care about them seeing. If they come to your website, you want them to stay. So only put in, like, I think right now there's an option for you to tell your website that it's something is cornerstone content.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything should be cornerstone content. Mm-hmm. There are other platforms like Facebook and Instagram and other places to put silly, fluffier stuff. I think your site is for capturing people, and I think don't post fluffy content. Then my number two tip is this, kind of the same thing for Pinterest. Don't overpin. Like, I'm not going to, like, I think so many people aren't going to follow you, and they're going to get, your pins are going to get lost if you're pinning thousands of pins. Keep it really specific. Like, that's the third thing. Kind of goes along with that, but like, it is so important to know your niche. Like, you can spread out every once in a while, but like know who your person is and always talk to your person. Don't go for other people because you think, you know, you just want to see if you can also get that demographic. Like talk to your one person. I think that is underutilized is knowing your avatar, like your one person that you're speaking to. Number four, I think that people right now, at least what I'm seeing kind of in the little groups that I'm seeing, people are really focusing on trying to get backlinks and trying to write for other sites and things like that. I don't think that that is a great way to grow. I think if you're a really good writer and you have great blog posts and you have a lot to offer, you should either be paid for that by going on to one of these sites that's looking for blog posts for money, because there are many, like ProBlogger, or reach out to like online websites and see if you can get paid. I did that, and I've been on Healthline.com. I've been on Romper. I've been, on The Week. I've now published for magazines, and you know, some of these things have paid me a lot of money to do that. So if you're a really good writer, don't post on, you know, Mary Jane's blog next door, because you know, it might get you, you know, shoot higher than that. You know, get paid for your work. And then number five, even when you're small, don't partner with a brand just to partner with a brand. Like, it's so exciting when somebody reaches out to you for to send you a product or to, you know, become an affiliate. Like, you know, don't fall down the rabbit hole of being an affiliate for 75 brands because they're going to let you, or for, you know, reviewing this Nerf football gun because they offered it to you. Like, those things will come. You don't have to take all of those offers. You know, focus on something that is really specific to you. I hope all that made sense.
Okay. That's brilliant. That's very, very unique advice, very specific. I think it would actually help a lot of people, because like you mentioned, sometimes you go to a website and they talk about everything and anything, and you're thinking like, what does that have to do with anything? But that NerfGun thing really speaks to me.
That's one that I actually got not so long ago. Yeah, they wanted to send me some Nerf guns. And I was like, I have two little girls. I blog about health. And, you know, my daughter's 3.5. You know, sorry, guys. It's just, like, thank you for reaching out. But I don't think I'm going to reach your audience.
That's brilliant. Awesome. Well, I think that's it for today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? And is there any other freebie actually that you want to offer the audience by any chance? I just want to make sure I don't forget to mention that.
Well, I'll be having my ebook will be launching soon. So if you follow me, that will be coming. And then my podcast is obviously free on iTunes, Stitcher, Android, everything. It's going crunchy, not crazy. And you can download the episodes there.
Okay. So the blog, the website, and Instagram, it's all the same name.
Yep, I'm going crunchy, not crazy everywhere.
That's brilliant. Awesome, Megan. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. What a twist. It's a different twist. And I am not going to be looking at the world very, very differently. I'm terrified of everything in the house. But thanks so much for opening the eyes of, you know, us as moms, so we can be more aware of the things that can be really affecting us. Anytime we get a pain, we're like, okay, time to detoxify the house. And, you know, to look up your blog and read all of those things, or listen to your podcast, or visit you on Instagram. Thanks so much for joining us today. It was very, very helpful and very, very inspiring.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. And that's all we have for today, guys. And thanks for joining us. Until next time, enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of the week. Bye for now.